Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. I have not done a see something, do something interview in quite a while. This is a series I love because I get to feature people all over the country who saw a pressing need and then did something about it or are actively doing something about it. And that's Jeff Armstrong. He's been a tireless advocate for the underserved throughout most, if not all, of his career, and his passion is for homelessness. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Great to be here.
Now, if ever there were somebody who's on an upwards leadership trajectory in nonprofits, it's you. You started managing shelter operations for a really small nonprofit in Maryland, in Columbia, Maryland. And then you moved to a larger nonprofit dedicated solely to addressing homelessness and housing for low-wage workers. And that's where we met, when you managed the Housing Stability Department at Bridges lots and lots of years ago. Did you know then that you'd be having a larger, even more positive impact on the lives of homeless families?
You know, I came in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when I first came into working in homelessness, and I thought I could solve homelessness on my own. And it was more about the cause, less about where I thought my career could be. And I think I've had a personal mission of helping as many children as possible who are experiencing homelessness. So that's where my drive came in, because I realized I needed a greater platform to do that work. So that's kind of what led me to understanding the trajectory I need to be on to ensure that our families are stable in our communities.
Mm-hmm. And you've got this whole passion around homeless children. I remember that about you. Yeah. Indeed. So why don't you tell us, I forgot to say this, but you are the executive director of Family Promise of the Midlands. Why don't you tell us how you wound up getting there and being the ED? You can tell us a little bit about Family Promise of the Midlands too.
Sure. So Family Promise is a national or federated nonprofit model. There's close to 200 Family Promises nationwide. We serve the capital city of South Carolina and the Columbia surrounding areas. And we serve families experiencing homelessness with children. So historically, the model started within churches, where a host congregation would host maybe 3 to 4 families at a time in Sunday school classrooms. And from week to week, those families would go to different host congregations. And then there would be support congregations that would provide volunteerism, meals, and fun activities. The pandemic shifted that model specifically for us. So a lot of what we're doing is still rooted within the faith community. It's just we had to be really creative with how we are serving even through the pandemic and after the pandemic. So that's kind of where the organization is and has grown. For me, though, I would say it's been I'm stubborn, right? My wife will probably tell you better than me, but I am incredibly stubborn when opportunities and things come up. And oftentimes I think we all suffer from some form of imposter syndrome, especially mm-hmm. if you don't have a lot of people telling you that you are a leader. Joanne, you are literally the first person to ever talk to me about that. And I'm excited to kind of go address that later. But you know, it was one of those things where I needed 3 separate signs. And the third sign, I was doing a panel discussion that I put together. It was the weekend before Thanksgiving. I had worked 7 days that week. It was a Sunday, and I'm in a packed house at a church leading a panel discussion, and I was tired. And I honestly was feeling like phoning it in. I mean, I didn't have anything left to give, and I couldn't do that. I can't mm-hmm. do that for the children that we're serving. I was at a previous organization, United Way here locally. And there was a person in the audience who came up to me after, it was several people, but this one specific person said, well, listen, I'm on the board at Family Promise of the Midlands, and we are searching for an executive director. We think you would be a perfect, or I think you would be a perfect fit. And I said, oh, wow, that's interesting. I'm having lunch with a gentleman on Wednesday, and I said his name, and it turned out that this was his wife. So, okay, I'm in the church, it's Sunday, and I've now met the wife of the person I'm meeting on Wednesday, just organically. So that was the sign. I mean, that was the third sign. I said, you know what, Jeff, you need to go for this.
That's awesome. So pre-Family Promise, it was United Way.
That's right. That's
what
right.
What was the role there?
So various roles. I started as the affordable housing coordinator. So moving from Maryland to South Carolina, I always say you either move for money or love. In this case, my wife, she's the PhD, got her PhD from Hopkins. She has a lab here at the University of South Carolina where she's studying fruit flies as a model organism. And that brought her down here, you know, live her dream. And my life experiences, I'm able to kind of adapt and move and live anywhere. So I started completely over at United Way, and I served as the affordable housing coordinator in that role, you know, really trying to, it was newer, and really trying to establish within the many partner organizations that United Way has is different options for families experiencing homelessness. And through that, you know, being on a team that led a new initiative called Resilient Richland. Columbia, South Carolina is, Richland County is part of that. So Resilient Richland was really focused on helping build resilience in children and, you know, heavy in that initiative and really launched that for partners through trainings. I'm a certified trainer in ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences. So that was heavy in that, and understanding kind of ACEs is a 10-question test that really, based on your answers, really determines your outcomes that you'll experience later in life. Just studies have shown, you know, based on these 10 answers. So, you know, coming from that world and understanding it differently than many of my peers, and really not even looking at leadership. You know, I wasn't part of those meetings. I wasn't privy. I wasn't at those tables. So I really had to take a roundabout way to get to that table to kind of almost build my own table.
I like that. So why homelessness? Why does homelessness matter so much to you?
One, I always say that you need to hear the struggle that comes with the success. So growing up in experiencing homelessness, you know, I grew up in Stockton, California, and historically Stockton gets, you know, is generally the top 10 worst cities to live in America, poverty, homelessness, different challenges. So I grew up during a time where there weren't active services such as a Family Promise or Bridges to Housing Stability. And even if there were, people were really scared to access them. So a lot of my experiences growing up, whether it be in a motel, whether it be we had a Ford Escort, I slept in the back seat, bouncing around from family member to family member until you burn those bridges. And then ultimately being forced to move across country to Virginia when I was a teen because of this instability, for it just to follow you more. So I had an inside out look of what that world is like. And through the grace of God, I've been able to build a career for myself to really have that insight at the table. So it's not just me saying what best practices are, what the data shows. It's me saying, no, I remember what it was like having to crack the window just a little bit in the back, not enough for someone to reach their hand in, but enough to breathe in the car with two other people and a dog. So, you know, you have these experiences and they live with you forever, you know, and I'm fighting for the child in me that was excited because 29-cent hamburger night at this convenience store called AMPM in California. That was my favorite night because I knew I was going to get a hot meal. I knew that 29-cent hamburger was the thing I look forward to. I still remember the foil on that hamburger, you know, and getting cleaned up in the gas station, those things. So those experiences stick with you. And again, I've been able to navigate and meet incredible people on my journey like you, Joanne, who tell me I could be more. I did not hear that growing up. You know, to this day, my mom, no matter whether I'm on the news here locally or I'm on even national news, it's my mom is saying, you know, I can't believe you're doing this. I can't believe you speak to rooms with this many people. It's still this, I can't believe. It's never, I always knew you could. You were the first person to come along, first person to ever take me out to lunch and have a leadership conversation, a growth conversation with me. Say, you know what, you demonstrate this type of servant leadership. No one had ever said that to me before, whether it was out of selfishness because they wanted me to help them continue to shine in their role. And they saw me as someone who could help lift them up, or whether they just didn't have that ability. And you need to hear that when you grow up the way I did. And that's the beauty of the work we're doing today.
I believe you need to hear that no matter what work you're doing. I think that we have opportunities to affirm one another, and that we're supposed to affirm one another, that we're supposed to build people up and help them see latent talent in themselves. I just believe that. And I know that that's a lot of the work that you're doing there at Family Promise. So this is probably a touchy subject for you and your world, because you have such faith and such belief and such optimism around homelessness. Do you believe that homelessness can be solved, that everybody desiring shelter can have it?
That is the multi-billion dollar question, Joanne. You know, I've been in this space for close to 18, 19 years now. And I've seen people take keys to a new apartment and come right back to the community where they're living in homelessness that same evening. You know, I've seen it in a whole different level. And what it helps me understand is that we need to solve community first. We need to figure out how the services that are being provided are available enough and are attractive enough for people experiencing these challenges to want to be part of the community that they live in, not go back to where you may see them. And I always think of homelessness as a stream. You have your downstream homelessness, which is your chronic homelessness, the people that you may see living under a bridge, the people you may see sleeping on a street corner, people that you may see who make makeshift boxes as shelter. Then you have your upstream homelessness, where we operate as Family Promise, that I think where it's families that are together but have lost that touch of community, that through several different challenges in their lives have found themselves in this space of instability. So what can we do to keep those families together, to keep them upstream so the families do not split and then chronic homelessness happens as you flow downstream, right? So to answer your question, I would like to think that we can. And it's not just a resource thing. It's a talent thing. It's getting enough people around the table who understand. And, you know, I know we don't want to get into this, but, you know, there's politics in it. There's business communities in it. And I understand both sides. You know, I truly do. I've been in this space long enough to understand that. But there has to be, again, I think, a sense of community. I really think you solve trauma with community. That's a firm belief that I have. Because again, Joanne, if you weren't part of my community, I don't think I'd be sitting in this chair today. You know, I needed someone at that age to tell me that I could do more. That, you know, and that's the part that I'm saying. It's not just, I don't mean talent and just someone having a fancy degree or talent in terms of going through 20 different certifications. I mean talent enough to know that we're all human, you know, and sometimes we need a smile. Sometimes we need someone to say they believe in us. Sometimes we need someone to help us build our social capital. There's nothing wrong with working in the food industry. But man, if there's a job as a paralegal and I could help you get a degree and I could change the trajectory of your family's life forever, then you'll never return to homelessness. So yes, I think it can be solved, but there's several pieces of the puzzle that have to be placed together. And again, I think it has to come from the community's response.
Well, I want to just say something about something you said in the middle there. Whether you had met Joanne Smichel or not, you would be in that seat because you are walking in your divine purpose. And he would have sent someone else to give you the same inspiration. So recognize the fact that it's what's in you. It is what is in you, and it is what you are purposed and called to do.
Thank you, Joy.
This idea of community, I can just say from the years of volunteering here around homelessness, I find it frustrating because I see so many people who feel like, well, I gave you $50. What do you want? Or I sent a bag of clothes to your shelter. What do you want? I don't know what can be done, but I think that there needs to be a couple of things. And you tell me what you think. Number one, I think that community awareness of family homelessness needs to be increased dramatically. And number two, I feel like people struggle with compassion fatigue because there are so many issues. And somehow this homelessness issue has to rise to the top of the list of priorities. But I think it's very difficult because one of the things that I watch and have seen is how poor many nonprofits are at articulating a compelling business case for support. They do okay at the heartstring, but people get tired of you pulling on their heartstrings. So what do we do to make this community support, number one, sustainable and meaningful and substantive?
That was a fabulous question, Joanne. You could tell that you have board service and you understand homelessness on a much deeper level. My thing, and I always go back to this. So if there are adverse childhood experiences, how can we create positive childhood experiences? How can we create positive adulthood experiences? So what ways can we shift that paradigm where it's not just about that straight support? Now that's needed. We got to keep the lights on. We got to keep copy paper in the printer. There's things that we need for general operating expenses. Yes, that support is needed to do the work. What can we do to tap into our volunteers, whether it's time, talent, or treasure, to help our families and individuals going through these challenges in their lives? And I always go back to, to give you just a quick story. And my fourth grade teacher, I remember to this day, I actually sent her, and I hope it's a right Miss Golden, I sent her a message on Facebook just to tell her, you really changed my life at an age where I don't think anyone knew what I was going through, but she took me to an Oakland Athletics Major League Baseball game, me and two other students. And this was right before the end of the school year. This is when teachers could take children on a field trip in the early 90s. And I had never been to a major league professional game anywhere, but I thought she took three of the best students in the class. When I got older, actually a few years ago, I realized she took three of the students who she knew, she didn't know exactly what was going on in their home lives, but she knew that they had a lot going on. And that changed my life forever. So that one experience, that one act of kindness she did, it wasn't, hey, here are some tickets, because we have no way of getting there. We can't take the bus 45 minutes away to get to the ball game. But let me take you. Right. Or let my church be a part of this experience in my church. Or, you know what? We want the families to go see the Christmas lights this year. Let's do that. So that forever changed my life. She knew the trauma that was in the house. I had an idea of it. And she fought that with this positive experience. So again, that now has said, I'm older now. So what can we do as an organization to provide those experiences for the children we're serving? What can our volunteers do? How can we equip them? How can we equip church leadership, politicians, community leaders? How can we equip them with the knowledge to know that this is what truly matters to our family? Because Joanne, as you know, that nothing happens without trust. So yes, I could give you a cell phone. I could give you a jacket in the winter. I could give you a new pair of shoes, but you're going to go to the next resource. That's what we do as humans. It's we're fight, flight, or freeze. I'm gonna go. You know what? My next thing, I'm gonna go to this other resource now. I'm gonna get this next thing, and I would do that if I was in their shoes too. So there's no judgment here. So yes, when you give that $50, they're gonna use it and they're gonna find another $50. What if we give you this experience, just like my fourth grade teacher did, that then allows me to understand, oh, there's more to life. I didn't go to another professional game till I was 25, the Baltimore Orioles, right up the street from me. 25 years or however many, 20, whatever, however many years later, 25 years old, I'm going to my next, it took that many years for me to go to my next one. And I never forgot it. The smells, the experiences, and everything. So when I got into my career in this position, now when I advocate for funding, so like you're saying, it's when I go out to, whether it's a Rotary Club, whether it's a large congregation, a small congregation, a leadership meeting, whatever it is, I'm not pulling at your heartstrings. I'm helping you remember what those experiences that you received as a child were like, and how you got to see someone get up to go to work every morning, how someone told you that you could be more than, you know, you could be everything in life. Tell my daughters every day, you're smart, strong, and beautiful. You could do anything in this life. Every single day, they're hearing that message. I didn't get that growing up. So, but I had a fourth grade teacher, right, who gave me this experience, who told me there was more to life. And so that's what led me to understanding this at a deeper level. So when I'm going to these, pitching to these very large companies, and I was at a venture capitalist firm in Palm Springs, Florida, and I'm in a room of a lot of money. And I can't, Joanne, I was intimidated is not even the right word to use here, but the person I was pitching against, it was almost like Shark Tank, right? And the person I was pitching, yeah, it really was. I'm pitching against had done the same presentation for 25 years. He was well-known in the community. He comes in and it was beautiful. I was no knock on his presentation, but I went before him and I was sharing these stories, these very personal stories to what got me to where I am today and how that has shifted my mindset for how we're serving the families here in our community. And it was tears. It was laughter. He was sitting outside of the door of this meeting and he could hear it. So when he came in, he was nervous. And I actually,
it was like Shark Tank.
It was like Shark Tank. So I could tell you how good it went. They invited me on, I don't even know if it was a yacht. It was bigger than a yacht. They invited me on that later that evening. And there were people telling me, you know, Jeff, you actually had him nervous presenting, right? Because I didn't allow him to do that heartstrings video that he wanted, he played it, right? But again, like you said, yes, people are tired of having their heartstrings pulled. But that doesn't mean that these experiences that our families have aren't real, though. They mm-hmm. are still going through these things, right? But what ways can we do the same way that, you know, we're going to, and I don't mean to shout out any brand, but there's this particular store that my wife would prefer to go to than a store that has much better prices because the experiences that you're going to receive there, the cart isn't going to be wobbly. There's a Starbucks inside, you know, it's the prices are a lot more expensive, but we're going to have a good time. The food is actually incredibly good in there too. So it's like, wow, yes, we're going to choose here. I want to create that environment for the families we're serving to build that trust for folks to know. I don't even know what they do at our center here. They don't know what we do. People don't have any idea. And that's intentional. It's very intentional. So
I got to ask you a question about the yacht and the Palm Beach and all that. Did you get some money?
We did. We did. Okay. We were quite successful for the organ. I didn't get anything. I drove down there myself and I stopped in a gas station that I probably shouldn't have stopped and showed you that I don't know the area. But long story short, got back here and we there was a check in the mail for our programming for the families that we're serving. So it was an incredibly successful trip and a great experience for me.
And you know what I like about it is that you told real stories that real people, even the filthy rich, and filthy rich is kind of a pejorative, even the very wealthy could relate to or could understand or could have compassion for. Absolutely. So I want to talk specifically about your leadership at Family Promise of the Midlands. How is that helping to create more opportunities for shelter and sustainable housing? I know you've got a great team working with you. I know you, so I know that you engage the team. But are there other leadership strategies that you're using to make this dream and this belief that you have of creating sustainable housing happen down there in Columbia, South Carolina?
You know, every leader wants to think that they're an awesome leader, that they're a servant leader, that they do all these wonderful things. And Joanne, what I've learned is being an effective leader is knowing how to put people at ease, helping them understand that while, you know, it might keep me up late at night, but when you see me, when I'm in front of you, I will put you at ease. We have a plan here. So I think that has allowed our stakeholders to be comfortable, right? It didn't start out that way, Joanne. I took this role right before, it was January 2020, right before the pandemic. And I'm telling people who have served in one way and one way only that we're pausing this model. I saw what was happening in other countries. And I would like to think that it was great leadership on my part. But I had the foresight to say, we need to pause this because if our if you all shut your churches down and our families don't have shelter, we do not have the runway of funds to be able to put our families in motels or hotels while we figure this thing out. You know, we just don't. It's too expensive. So my first meeting with 36 different congregational leaders was telling them that we're not serving the way that you know and love. And they were done with me. You know, like, who is this guy? Bring the minister back who used to be in my predecessor. We don't need this person here. But lo and behold, and I did not want this to happen. But a month after that meeting, our world shut down and I was getting a lot of calls and emails apologizing for how people treated me. And so I mentioned that story to say, putting people at ease is very important, but then having a plan. So I like to say that I had a five-year plan. I hit fast forward on that five-year plan. So to answer your question, having programs that I wanted to get off the ground in year two, year three, four, and five, we're able to reverse that, kind of almost reverse engineer it, where I want to build these programs up front to get people comfortable with them. And then if we can go back to the model of what it used to be, great. But we also have these other programs that are now tentacles that can draw a different community to our organization. Well, we took surveys within our churches and they did not have the volunteer base. It takes many volunteers a week to have people stay sleep overnight in the church and to have this model run. And with that kind of vision, we created brand new programming where our volunteers could still be heavily involved. Matter of fact, I would like to think that they're even more involved. It's not just coming and playing Monopoly one night out of the year at church. It's now, we want to do a candlelight dinner on Valentine's Day for you all. And then we want church members to come where you don't really know who in the room is experiencing homelessness because they're coming from their own housing. So we've been able to develop different partnerships where, you know, whether it's paying reduced rent or finding housing options for our families in the community, just with, you know, different people at the table, our families are coming a little bit more empowered. They're coming to the table, not sleeping, nothing wrong with this when you don't have a house, but there's a whole different feel when you work a full day, you come home and there's 10 volunteers staring at you who want to actively engage with you at something. And you just want to help your child with their homework and take a nap, you know? And so going to the Sunday school classroom to sleep feels a lot different than having your own place and then coming to an activity with the church. So there's this different shift, I think, that happens. And again, that was where I wanted to get us in year three through five. We got there in year one, thankfully. So,
and what you're talking about is reducing the stigma of homelessness. Because when I can come fresh and clean, where my hair is washed and combed to your activity, then I do feel differently.
100%.
I am hazarding a guess here that your team, that your staff was excited about doing something different.
So, you know, I'll say coming in, you know, the staff, because leadership was, there was a changing of the guards and people get very comfortable. The familiar comfortable isn't always the best. So there's this unfamiliar person coming in who they've heard of and heard great things about, but you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to make me comfortable? And then you have someone with a, what I hope is a growth mindset coming in that also feels uncomfortable. So I think in the beginning there was that challenge, that kind of transition where I had to ensure people and make them be comfortable, help them operate in such a way that they knew that I had their back. And no matter what was going on, you know, that it was about them and their role and how their goals. It was less about me and Joanne, you know this about me. I'm not, whatever award that they're giving out locally or wherever, I'm not looking for that. I'm not seeking that. I only participate in certain things because I know it's important for my role. It's not, you know, I don't want someone to apply, a friend of mine to apply for an award for me and then I apply for them. Like,
I don't like that.
So it's like, that's not my style. And I really think that folks got comfortable with that and they understood what I wanted to accomplish. And it was about our mission. It's always about the mission. It's any business, any nonprofit, it's always about the end user. What can we do to help serve our family
the
best possible way? And they, I think they saw that authenticity and genuineness. And then also with just the how we quickly shifted in moving our, you know, our phone or voice over internet phone system, our being able to shift quickly and okay, he knows what he's doing, and he's also making our jobs easier while impacting more families. We, through the grace of God, we served more families in my first year here than we had the previous, than the organization had the previous 5 years before I got here. So we're making a greater impact. I feel better about the work that I'm doing and what we're accomplishing together as a team. And it feels like family. I always want to create that environment where, which is always a big thing of mine. And it's great to have had younger, my experiences working in at a much younger age in a space of disarray, you know, as part of two or actually three different like big leadership changes that shifted the whole organization. I was part of that process. So I was a person that was still left standing. I got to see what doesn't work. So you best believe I'm taking mental notes and, you know, I'm taking all kinds of notes to truly understand this. This is where I want to meet people. I want to, it's more about flexibility. Where are your talents? Where do you feel you're most, you know, you're rewarded and operate from there?
I like that. How could my listeners, whether they're in the Columbia, South Carolina area, or in some other part of the world or of the country, how can they support your work?
You know, well, our website is www.familypromisemidlands.org. So you could check out our website there to see what we have going on. I think, though, while we would listen, I would be remiss in not saying would love for you all to support our work, to be able for us to be able to do more financially, right? To be able to expand on the programming, our partnerships with local HBCUs, different things that we've done. But I would love for you to try to find a Family Promise in your community or another organization in your community and see how you could get plugged in. See what their volunteer management team, they have one, see what kind of opportunities they're offering. Seeing how you could lend your expertise and social capital to people who don't have that type of access. Putting yourself in someone's shoes who may not have had the same opportunities. And Joy, we talked about people being quite wealthy. I want to be one of those people. I want my daughters to start on third base. So this isn't me judging anyone who has that level of success. This is me saying, understand there's people who don't even have tickets to the game, who don't even know the game is going on. Forget third base. They have no idea that the game's going on. I'm asking you to get them tickets to the game. The way my fourth grade teacher did, not literally and figuratively. I'm talking about giving them those experiences and seeing how you could stretch yourself in that way. So if you don't have the time to provide that kind of volunteer service, maybe there's other opportunities. Maybe there's, your college, your alma mater, whatever it is that you could get football tickets to or whatever. Those, it makes such a great impact. I mean, to see our families with the Philharmonic here, Beethoven and Blue Jeans, the whatever different experience that we're providing for them, that they really, I mean, coming to us on day one and then leaving when they graduate our program, they're different people. They think differently. There's this growth mindset. Yes. And it's like, wow, to hear you say for one of our graduates to come to us and wanting to get a cosmetology license, not just getting a cosmetology license, just recently graduating as a nurse's assistant and saying, Jeff, I want to be a doctor. And I believe you. And I'm looking, I'm like, I believe you. Because you look at what you've done. And we through a relationship of ours, we got her a chair in a retirement community for her to do the hair of the residents living in this community with a cosmetology. So she's making a living wage while studying, while her daughter is in school. And it's just like, you are knocking it out of the park. And this is what's possible when you open up doors for people.
Yeah. So we're almost out of time, but I want you to come back, Jeff. I want you to talk about how you raise awareness to the issues, but then like the work you're talking about mobilizing people to act, I want you to talk more about that because there's
Absolutely.
so many opportunities for action, so many, but people aren't always aware of them. So are you open to coming back for that conversation?
100%.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming, Jeff. I appreciate you sharing. I really appreciate you being so vulnerable and sharing your own backstory. So thank you for that, especially.
Thank you, Joanne.
You
Appreciate
stay
it.
well.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.